Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you today as we gather for worship. It's good to be back with you as I've been on vacation, but it's good to gather on this holiday weekend for some. As we gather and we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as part of the service, so it's good to have you here today. Special welcome to those who are visiting today. Also a special welcome to Delphine Haldane, who will be providing special music during the service today. You'll note on the inside back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. Bible study will be resuming on Tuesday morning, and the property trustees are meeting Tuesday evening. Next Sunday is Rally Day. Therefore, we'll be having registration for Sunday school, and Sunday school class will be held during the worship service next week. And you may note there at 12 o'clock, we have a special coffee hour next week that there will be ice cream sundaes available. Make your own during coffee hour next week and diaconate's meeting after that. So summer is over as far as weather hasn't said that, but programmatically, summer is over. But before that, I do have several other announcements I do want to share with you this morning. One is a thank you from Housing Families for the for participating in the annual backpack drive. 9 backpacks filled with supplies were donated. Donors like you are the reason the children in our program have paper and pencils to do their homework, calculators to work on math, and backpacks to carry all their books. You're also giving them a sense of normalcy. As Amy, a student in our children's program, says, "With my backpack, now I can be just like everybody else at school." So that is a thank you from Housing Families, and thank you to all those who donated items for their backpack drive this summer. Also, we've received an acknowledgement for the World Mission offering and our gifts last fall, and that we'll be receiving this year's offering in October. We just received this as a certificate of gratitude from International Ministries or Board of America. It still is calling International Ministries for our work and giving of gifts to support our missionaries overseas. Also, we received an honor certificate from Church World Service for the gifts of blankets that we did this spring for Mother's Day. Those are our thank yous. Some upcoming events next Saturday, September 12th at 12:30, the American Baptist Women's Ministries of Malden, of First Baptist Church Malden, will be meeting for a kickoff luncheon at Dottie Foxen's. And that's the address is there. Those who have email have received it. Marilyn, do you have any others to hand out to folks that... So Marilyn has some extra invitations. Come and enjoy the food and fellowship while we talk about the exciting things God has planned for us as we witness through White Cross, the Judson Women, the Massachusetts American Baptist Women's Ministries, wherever and however God leads us. And Dottie would like to have a head count so she knows how much food to prepare. So speak to her today, give her a call, or if you have email, you have already received your email address. And if you need a ride, contact Marilyn or contact me. I am hoping to go and we can arrange rides. On Tuesday, September 29th at 7 o'clock, there will be a community forum on human trafficking at the First Baptist Church in Wakefield. And these will be posted with more information, but that's on Tuesday, the 29th. On October 18th, Refugee Immigration Ministries is offering a dinner cruise. And if you're interested in that, that also will be posted. And also, we are continuing to collect signatures. Marilyn is continuing to collect signatures for the petition to get a Community Preservation Act on the November ballot in the communities of Malden and Medford. And there are sign-up sheets in the kitchen. So during coffee hour, if you'd like to, if you are a resident of Malden or Medford, make sure you find the correct sign-up sheet. And sign that if you're willing to put your name. You're not voting for it at this time. You're just saying, yes, you think it's a good idea, and you'd like to see the question on the ballot. So that is going on as well. I think I got through all the announcements. So at this time, let's turn in the hymnal to selection number 598 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from a variety of verses from both the New and Old Testaments as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort.
Who comforts us in all our troubles.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Our opening hymn this morning is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 596. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Mighty and loving God, in Jesus Christ, you have brought us to new life. Mend what is broken in us. Heal our deep hurts and pain, and restore us to full relationship with you. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us secure in your gracious embrace. We ask this in the name of Jesus. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated.
We have an opportunity at this point to share our celebrations and our concerns as we go to prayer together. One celebration is that Peggy Blum is home. She's home on Friday after another stint at Mass General for quite a while, a couple procedures. Doing quite well, feeling good, taking it a little slowly, but doing very well. Wanted to express her gratitude for all the cards and calls and visits that she's received over the past almost 7 weeks, 7 weeks tomorrow. So just want to continue to pray for Peggy as she continues to recuperate at home. Spoke with Claire Stevens yesterday. Claire did move last weekend. Is in Florida, situated with her son in Florida now. That is different, but she's a good camper and she's adjusting as best as she can. But very positive. So, but we want to continue to keep Claire in prayer as she adjusts to her new home in Florida. I do have a temporary address for her, but she said she'll get a street address to us soon. We'll all keep Claire in prayer. Any update on Heather?
Heather is scheduled for bone marrow transplant on the 14th, maybe the 21st, but I'm sure the date yet. The experimental drug worked. There is no cancer in her bone marrow now, so she knows. And Gail is down there right now, as a matter of fact. And Gail went back to work on Wednesday out of 6 weeks on crutches.
So I'll keep with Heather, and she's waiting for bone transplant. And Gail, she's recuperating.
Doing very well.
Keep both of them for. We do want to keep families that have lost loved ones recently, the Fox and family and the Barry Cooper families. We want to keep them, continue to keep them in our prayers as they continue to adjust to the loss of loved ones and their families. Cindy, you're here today. You seem to be doing well, so I'll keep Cindy in prayer as well. She continues to recuperate from surgery early this summer. Any other requests for prayer? Meryl.
I have a celebration and a concern. Celebration, my neighbor Paul was discharged by the nurse, the family nurse, coming around with the things. And we have a good operation to be there. As soon as I have another friend named Angelina, who is suffering from this operable thing, terminal brain tumors.
So, Angelina and her and Bob, is your neighbor John?
Paul.
Paul. Okay. 3 weeks sort of sort of wipes out memory. So I want to keep both of those folks in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Oh, my cousin Becky, she's a cousin. I can't get
to her. So your cousin Becky lives in Pennsylvania, not in contact with her. So hopefully everything's okay.
Yes.
Anyone else have a prayer request? Benny Hickey mentioned this morning that one of Jim's sisters and one of Daddy's sisters both are not doing very well health-wise, so we'll keep them in prayer today as well. Any other requests?
Naomi. Public celebration. I started school at the Northeast Metro Tech Vocational in Lakefield.
That's a long name.
And, I started on Wednesday, and so far so good.
Good. That's always good to hear. After 2 days or 3 days of class,
two days
of classes, you're saying, I want out. So we want to pray for Naomi. She's starting a new school. And we do want to remember, teachers and administrators and students who are, they haven't started, they will be starting very soon, another academic year. We want to look all those up in prayer today as well. Any other requests for prayer today? Not, then let's go to God. If you have some of these requests or something that's on your heart, let's pray together.
Thank you.
God, you are all loving, all powerful, all merciful, all just. And we come today seeking your presence in our lives. We pray for your spirit to be moving among us and within us. Lord, as we have turned the page on the calendar for another month of September, we realize the year is almost over. We wonder, where have the days gone? The memory of winter seems far removed for some of us, but yet others, it's a very powerful memory. Lord, as we enter this new fall season, you know, it's a time of transition, a time from summer vacations to jobs, school years. Lord, we thank you that as times change in our lives, that you are always a constant presence in our life if we allow you to be. Lord, we do invite you into our lives today and ask that you would be with us during the times of our transitions, that we know that we can always rely on you when we feel in upheaval because of all the changes taking place in our lives. Lord, this day we lift up those who have health concerns. Some are awaiting surgeries. Others are undergoing rehabilitation and recuperating from surgeries. Others are awaiting other diagnoses. Lord, we just lift them all up to you and pray that your healing touch according to your will for them will be done in their lives. We thank you for those who have the skill and the knowledge to care for us when our bodies are injured or broken or ill, that they can care for us. But we thank you that we know that you are the master physician. Lord, during this time of transition, we do thank you that we are able to come to this church, know that it's a constant in our lives. It's a place that we can hold our anchor down. We are secure here. And Lord, as we worship this day, in this Labor Day weekend, we thank you for those who are employed, for those who have had a gainful employment or are now retired. We thank you for that. Lord, we also pray for those who do not have employment today, those who are seeking jobs and not been able to find them. Lord, we just lift them up to you today and pray that in during that search process that they may sense your guiding spirit in their lives as they look for employment in their lives. Lord, we do thank you for all of those who do have jobs today and are able to be part of the labor force that makes this nation strong. Lord, we also thank you for the ability of coming together. We ask all of this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
This being the first Sunday of the month, as I mentioned earlier, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together later as part of the service. On this first Sunday of the month, we always receive two different offerings. The first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. So this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Hail wind and rain.
Personal Lord and Savior. We ask this all in His name. Amen. Be seated. Before I read scripture, a couple of announcements I forgot to make. One is on the back page of the bulletin is our invitation from Casa de Fe Alabanza, which is the Hispanic congregation that meets next door in our parish house. As you did see the summer witness, you did notice that, or may have noticed, that we are going to be worshiping with them on the last Sunday of September. It is their 15th anniversary, and they've invited us to be their guests. And that's the official invitation. We will be eating over here in Judson Chapel. Someone thought it was downstairs. No, we'll be eating in Judson Chapel. So the meal's here. Worship service is next door. Also, we will be moving back to the sanctuary next Sunday. So we're done the parlor for the summer. But your help is needed if you can help collect the hymnals after the service today and the carts out in the hallway. You can help stack those. That's be helping us to get ready to our move to the sanctuary. So now we will be reading scripture from John's first letter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. John writes these words: "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read from and heard from the words of the Apostle John this morning, we are reminded of our difficulties in life, but yet we can have victory only through You. We thank You that You have created us and consider us Your children. Lord, we realize that sometimes we may be, you know, wayward children, not always obedient. But Lord, we come to You this morning with penitent hearts, seeking a way that we can be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this, that Your Spirit may bless us and open our hearts and minds. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever feel stressed? Well, I'm hearing some no's. I'm hearing some yeses. But those of you who do feel stressed sometimes, congratulations, for you are a typical American. Over the last several decades, the United States has become the world champion in the stress category. According to the American Institute of Stress, yes, there is such a thing, stress-related illnesses cost the American economy $300 billion, with a B, in medical bills and lost productivity every year. 44% of Americans feel more stressed than they did 5 years ago. And one in five people experience what they term extreme stress, which includes symptoms like heart palpitations, shaking, and depression. Three out of every four visits to the doctor are for stress-related ailments. A lot of that stress is hitting us earlier in our life as well. As psychologist Robert Leahy points out, and I quote, "The average high school student today has the same level of stress and anxiety as the average psychiatric patient did in the early 1950s. Life is different in some ways. The numbers are shocking, especially given the fact that we live in a country that should have the least to be stressed about. We live in a relatively secure nation. We have a higher standard of living than most countries. We have better access to good medical care than the vast majority of other countries in the world. And yet many countries where basics like food, security, and clean water are in short supply, they report lower levels of stress than those of us who seem to have it all. Theories abound as to why our stress is worse than so many others. Some say it's the economy, and others say it's work-related stress. Others say it's our loss of community, as people spend more time with their eyes glued on an electronic screen than on the faces of family and friends. Related to this is the mind-numbing amount of information we receive on a daily basis that causes fears of threats that aren't even related to us. Combine those with the general American aversion to any negative feeling, and we have a mixture primed for stress-induced anxiety. So how do we beat this presence of stress in our lives? The classic American answer is to purchase our way out of it. In fact, there's a whole industry that focuses on de-stressing our life while cleaning out our wallets. We can walk around the mall, for example, and we'll see opportunities to purchase expensive massage chairs. In some malls, we can even get a quick massage at a specially designed kiosk. We can sign up for a yoga class at a local gym and contribute to what has become a $6 billion industry. Or we can sip a relaxing beverage. Instead of the amped up stress jolt of an energy drink, why not have a beverage specially designed to counteract the effect of the energy drinks? Drink one to get you up and drink another to get you down. Or we could learn from Deepak Chopra, who is arguably one of the chief gurus in stress management in American culture. He claims that he himself never has stress and sells millions of books and other devices all designed to help us relax. For example, his Dreamweaver light and sound machine is a $299 device that is worn like a set of goggles and uses a kaleidoscope of dreamlike images and sounds to help us relax and sort of chill out. Does it work? Only a user can tell us. The truth is, however, that despite the billions of dollars we're spending on this type of stuff, we really can't buy peace of mind and peace for ourselves. In a world that feels out of control, no amount of time spent tripping out in the dream weaver will ultimately make us feel better. Once the goggles come off, it's back to the reality that we live in a world that we can't conquer, no matter how much we spend. The people to whom the Apostle John was writing had every reason to be more stressed than even we could imagine. While his audience is not clearly identified at the beginning of his letter, the fledgling Christian churches of John's day were often harassed and persecuted. People were losing their livelihoods and their lives because of their association with the person and message of Jesus Christ. At a minimum, they would have been ostracized by their pagan and Jewish neighbors for declaring a crucified Messiah as the Lord of the world. We could certainly excuse them if they had simply turned to their faith in a dream weaver kind of private spirituality that might help them escape from the world. That would be the sane thing to do. But instead of rolling out the yoga mat, the early Christians actually thrived in the midst of stress and persecution. The first few centuries of Christianity saw it explode in numbers and influence to a point that by the early 4th century, it was the dominant faith and worldview of the very Roman Empire that had sought the church's destruction. How did Christians conquer the world? The Apostle John gives us a clue. In his offer, he offers that clue, that information to us free of charge. We don't have to pay for it. John was no guru, but he was a witness to the life of Jesus. He shares how to live according to the pattern of Christ. For John, the way to peace did not involve swiping a credit card to get what we need. Rather, it involved remembering the gift that God had already given to us. He writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." In our ceaseless striving for security and solvency, if we can continue doing that, then the source is that's much of our source of stress. John reminds us that the only thing we really need is the one thing we can never buy or earn, and that's our status as children of God. It's something offered to us free of charge. We can't do it. We can't make it on our own. We can't buy it. I'm reminded, I was reading the book of Acts this week. So many times we see in the book of Acts that people would come to the apostles and say, you know, "Can I buy that for you, from you? You know, this good news, you know, I got some money." And the apostles would continue to say, "You know, silver and gold, I don't have. But this is offered to you free of charge." And that's what John's telling us. We can't buy peace for ourselves. It's offered to us from God. When we believe that Jesus is God's Son, it's that faith. It's not our striving that makes us part of His family. Every child of God who loves the parent then also loves the rest of His children, John says. If isolation and overwork are the cause of much of our stress, John reminds us that God has brought us together by giving us the gift of Jesus Christ and offering us a whole new community in which we can both give and receive the love God has shared with us. It's out of that love, then, that God gives us guidance about how to conquer the world and the stress that comes with it. John writes, "When we love God and obey His commandments, it becomes the way in which we can love the other children of God." Obedience to God's commandments sounds at first like another burden with which we could be stressed about, another rule to obey. But John emphasizes that this obedience is what actually sets us free from worry and from stress. In a world in which an abundance of information bombards us constantly. Those of you who have cell phones or have the internet connected to your computers, ding, 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 all the time. You know, you're getting emails, you're getting, you know, text messages. We're getting information from news sources all the time to keep us up to date. We're constantly bombarded with information. Obedience to God is the secret to the life of freedom. When we experience the gift of God's love and grace, it becomes the gift around which we orient our lives. We focus on what we have, not on what we don't have. We focus on the present rather than worrying about the future, for we know that our future is secure in Christ. John writes then that the commandments of God are not burdensome, but that it's through our obedience to God in response to God's love that God's children in faith conquer the world. So many of the de-stressing devices that people are buying today are all about escaping from the world. For example, the ostrich pillow. This is a pillow that fits over the head, leaving just a small opening for the mouth and the nose, and puts the wearer into a head-in-the-sand kind of posture on a table while a busy airport bustles around the individual. The Bible, however, wants us to look up and see the world as a place from which not to escape, but as a place to be claimed in victory. John asks, "Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" When we believe that Jesus has already conquered the world, we have nothing to fear from it. And guess what? No one sells that kind of peace. Paul, the Apostle Paul, echoes John when he reminds the Roman church that nothing, not even the stress-inducing aspects of hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the threat of violence, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Indeed, Paul writes, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Peace is possible because the battle's already been won. Jesus himself declares it. "I have said this to you so that in me you will have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Each of us deals with stress in our own ways, but it need not be debilitating. A massage is nice, and yoga is good, though a bit painful for those who are less flexible. And we need opportunities to be quiet and to meditate. But ultimately, real stress relief comes from knowing that God loves us with an everlasting love, and that God has already conquered the world. We've already been given the gift of peace, and it's free of charge. Let's pray together. Lord, we do find ourselves stressed out so many times. Lord, we pray that you will continue calling to us, that we may have ears open to that, to your invitation, to reminding us that you have conquered the world, that you care about us, that we are your children, that we can approach you as a parent, as a loving parent. Lord, when we do get bent out of shape, we feel on edge, that just don't know what to do, continue to remind us to turn to you for that peace that we need in our hearts, in our minds, that we can go on living, that we can be faithful in following you, that we may be obedient, not because out of dire duty, but out of a joy and a desire to worship you and serve you. Lord, we pray that we may be faithful servants, and that we may have that peace that we cannot purchase, but that you offer freely. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. be seated. As I mentioned earlier, we do receive two offerings on Communion Sundays. The second offering that we're about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not supported by our regular operating budgets. Sometimes it's a local request within the church family. Sometimes it's something within the state or within the city of Malden. Sometimes it's around the world that we respond to a request. So it's a way of reaching out in Christ's love to others. So at this time, the deacons receive your gifts to the communion offering. To turn to page 3 in the bulletin as we will read in unison our church covenant. Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God in the observance of the ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of a faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations. And that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son. Jesus is the host of the table. And as the host, Jesus invites each one of us individually with these questions. He asks us, do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Jesus invites all believers to the table. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the invitation that you are offering to us. Lord, we know that we are not able to buy a seat at your table. We have not earned a seat at your table, but it's only through your grace and your mercy. Lord, in these moments, we confess to you now in silence those sins that we are aware of that we have committed, and we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do ask you that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse our hearts and purify us and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We go to that last night that Jesus was alive here on earth and sharing with his disciples in an upper room. They were celebrating the Passover, a meal remembering the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus used the elements of the meal and gave them new meaning for his followers and his believers, and trying to prepare them for what was coming. And Jesus took the bread from the table and gave thanks to God for the bread. And after doing so, he gave these new words the disciples were not expecting to hear. This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken, so that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup. Again, after giving thanks to God for the cup, he began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it with these words, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans, that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed, paying the price for our sins, conquering the world that we might have peace. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that we may live each day demonstrating our gratitude for your sacrifice. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn before going out. Our closing hymn is Trust and Obey, number 437. We sing verses 1 and 3. Remind you of my request to help us collect hymnals, put them on the cart outside in the hallway. And now as we leave this time of worship, may the words of the Apostle Paul guide us on our journey. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord goes with you. Do not be anxious, but in everything, in prayer and thanksgiving, present your lives to God. And God's peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard and guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.